They move it to Miller. JT Miller with a slap pass.
He can make it. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Launches one deep left field and gone.
Curry slammed on the brakes. Oh my goodness, Curry!
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Live for Sports. My name is Nathan. Joined as always by Mr. Joseph Augusti. How we doing, Joseph? Tuesday. Canucks almost play the Bruins. Game nine. Eight, I don't know how you want to call it.
Oh, right, because yeah, it'd be like game 33 by now. But hey, yeah, it'll be fun. I wonder who's starting. If it's going to be Korpisalo or Jonas Forpisalo, as I called him when he was on Ottawa. I looked at his stats, and it's hilarious. He's got like a 912 save percentage, which is very funny. And because Swayman has like an 888.
And considering all we've kind of seen from him stats wise, it hasn't been good. It seems like.
Yeah. So,
it
interesting
is Swayman.
Game.
It's Swayman.
Okay, so it's an away game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're going to be in tough, probably, with the Joe Sakic routine, but we'll see. Hoping for the best. I mean, they scratched Sasson, which I thought was kind of silly.
I would have liked if it was Baines, but I get why.
Tocchet loves Baines.
I know, but he really likes Sasson, it seemed like, too, from his game. Like, I don't know. Sasson played well on Sunday or Saturday, I thought.
I
was on Twitter today. Of course, the game 8 highlight of like the first fight within like 5 minutes of the game popped up. I love that brawl. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Vaguely.
I don't know. It's just, I think Lucic just like jumps Burrows and then the Canucks 5v1 Lucic jump him and then the rest of the Bruins pile in. It's mayhem. I love it.
The only thing I remember from that game is Cody Hodgson's rip.
Yep.
That goal, and everybody's like, yeah, Cody Hodgson's going to be a superstar. And alas.
Zach Kassian instead. I loved Hodgson, too. That year, actually, I think, yeah. That game was in January, I remember. And I think like a couple weeks later or something, they played at home in San Jose, and I went to the game. It was like a matinee game. I think it was like a 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and Hodgson scored two goals. It was so sick. I love this guy. This guy's gonna be sick. And then I think they traded him like a month later at the deadline.
I think it was 2011 or no, 2012. I remember seeing that trade. I was with one of my friends, and because we all thought Hodgson was gonna be great. And then Zach Kassian, I guess I would have been 11 or 12 years old at the time, and I had above average knowledge of hockey, and I had never heard of Zach Kassian in my life.
Yeah,
and just for good reason.
Sucked, because apparently Hodgson was just an awful dude in the locker room and nobody liked him.
So they got noted cocaine and drug user Kassian.
Well, they didn't know that at the time, but yeah. Anyways, okay. Today's episode. Jim Montgomery, fired then rehired. We talked about fired last week, I believe.
Yeah, we did.
I believe that still came up. Yeah, that was day of. So, and then 5 days later, he is now a St. Louis Blues head coach. We'll talk about that in a sec here. David Juracek. On the move? ? I don't know. It sounds soonish. Me and Joseph are going to discuss landing spots. Finally, wrap up Canada, or the Four Nations predictions. We're doing Canada, of course. I have no idea how this is going to go, because there's a lot of ways Canada's roster could look. Even more than the States, I think.
I know I said last week I did who I thought it would be. I did who I want it to be.
Gotcha. I went for who I think it's going to be, and I don't even like it necessarily still.
No, there's a few people who I'm like, oh, I left this person out and he's going to be on the team.
I think you're going to hear one of the guys on my top line and you're going to be like, really? I don't know. So we'll see. To the MLB, Yusei Kikuchi signs with the Angels. We'll talk about that. And then we'll get into the rest of our top five starting pitcher free agent predictions. I want to break down the NFC West in the NFL, because it's hit mayhem. The Seahawks are in first again. But I'm curious to get your kind of take on it. And then lastly, NBA, I think we're going to talk to the Pelicans a little bit, because they just fucking suck and I'm disappointed in them because I was high on them. But we will go to the Montgomery hiring. So fired on Tuesday, hired on Saturday, I believe it was. 5 days after, I think, maybe Sunday.
Yeah, it was within the week.
Five-year contract, like right off the bat.
Yeah.
They had just hired Bannister, their previous interim head coach as of last year. They gave him the full-time tag this year, hired him for 2 years, and fired him after 20 games this year. Joseph, how do you make of it? I don't know.
Well, it's very clear Doug Armstrong, GM of the Blues, knows that he needs to make some shakeups here in the locker room. Because remember, the year they won the Stanley Cup, they fired Mike Yeo, hired Craig Berube, and it sparked them to a championship. Now, this is a little different. Drew Bannister had just been promoted to the head coaching job, and Doug Armstrong literally said he made this move because he knew Jim Montgomery was available. If Jim Montgomery is still head coach in Boston, Drew Bannister likely still has a job. I think a big part of this was the familiarity they have with Montgomery, because remember, he was an assistant coach in St. Louis for 2 years after he was let go by Dallas. That's a big part of it. And the fact of the matter is, in St. Louis, their goaltending is more stable than it was in Boston, at least start the year. I know Binnington's stats aren't fantastic, but he was really good last year. And I believe he will turn it around. He's just a competitive personality like that. But this is a kick in the ass probably for the Blues players, because Bannister, he really wasn't around very long to make much of a stamp. I think Berube was hired right about a year ago, right now. I think it was early December, if I'm not
I think it
mistaken.
was January. If I'm
It was just about a year ago, was the
yeah,
point.
something, but that was also 5 years ago because it was 2019,
No, no,
2018,
no,
right?
no, 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 no. Berube was fired a year ago today.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking Brube hired.
No, Mike
I
Yeo
think
was,
I think it was, yeah, right around this time last year then. I think you're right
yeah,
on
I
that.
think it was early December. Bannister got the second half of the year, did okay, then was
No,
given the
they
full.
actually did really well the second half. Like they had a really good record
Yeah,
second half of the year. Almost got in. Well, they
they didn't
almost
make the
did.
playoffs.
They just started too shit.
Yeah, sure. But this kind of reminds me, remember like 6, 7 years ago, Calgary Flames, Bill Peters has his scandal. They fire him. They bring in Jeff Ward as the interim coach. They do okay. They give Jeff Ward the interim job or the full-time job, and then they start like shit and fire him. And it was only like 30 games. Like, this is almost the exact same thing. Because Calgary, Daryl Sutter became available, or actually he was available. They just decided to bring him in. And in this case, Jim Montgomery is available. Jim Montgomery is a really good coach. He was sunk in Boston because of goaltending. And in Dallas, he did a really good job. He just had personal problems that led to his exit. So I'm interested to see how the Blues players react to this, because of course we know how it worked 6 years ago now. So, and players change. There's no more O'Reilly. There's no more Petrangelo. The team is different. But I'm looking forward to see how they do in the Central now, because Utah has underperformed my expectations. Minnesota and Winnipeg have overperformed. Nashville's been awful. So there's a spot for them there if they make a run.
I'm curious, did you see the Buchnevich interview from the last game before Montgomery was fired, I
I've
believe?
heard of it, but I can't remember what
I
exactly he says.
partially watched it. I don't know. He just seems like a really pissed off mood about like the game style and shit like that. And I Friedman on 32 Thoughts said this really well. It's like normally with Russian players, it's tough to like judge with them or foreign players because maybe they say something, but it's taken out of context because their English isn't great. Like Buchnevich, English isn't perfect from that video I
Okay.
saw, so it is a little hard to say. It's decent. Like it's not like it's Michkov level bad where he can probably only say a few words or Kuzmenko. Like we know how Kuzmenko is, but something to think about.
Sorry, was this Montgomery's first game or Bannister's last game?
Bannister's last.
Okay, so in theory, they've got it worked out now that he's gone.
It was the day after I think they fired him. The 3-1
Yeah.
loss to the Islanders, I think it was.
I was surprised they brought Bannister back. I know you mentioned they played well under him, but he was just an AHL guy. He didn't have much pedigree. I thought they would do a proper search and hire someone new, but clearly, they didn't believe in him that much if he had that short of a leash.
Yeah, I mean, and I think what Friedman touched on it really well too. I mean, and it sounded like from the press conference, I didn't watch it, but it sounded like when a coach of Montgomery's caliber becomes available, you make the change no matter what. If you like him more than your current guy, you make the change. And I guess they did. And I find it funny because Did you see the, I think it was the Bar Down post. Did you see the past three Bruins head coaches and that stat?
Yeah, with like Therrien and or not Therrien, Claude Julien and that they and Cassidy and they get hired right away.
They get hired within like a week.
Yeah, because they don't fire coaches that often.
No, I think it was Bruce Cassidy was what like 8 days later, and then I think Claude Julien was 5 days later.
I think Julien was the same day. I think they fired him and Montreal hired him either the same day or the day after.
I think it was a couple days. I'm not sure, but anyways.
I think it was the day after. I remember that because I thought it was weird because Claude Julien was well past his prime at that point, and it was funny that Montreal hired him so quickly.
And it was, ironically, Montreal was in like first place in the division at the time, too.
Yeah, that's right.
They were just on a really cold stretch for like a week or two. And
yeah, and I remember Vegas fired Gallant when they were in first. Some weird coach firings over the years.
Yeah, I still like Gallant as a coach. Like, I know it hasn't worked out of late, but
he can't be a coach for a team that's in its championship window.
Really?
He can't. He's not good enough tactically. He's a motivator. Hmm. He's someone I would have wanted Ottawa to hire.
Gotcha.
He's not going to do a
rebuilding team either, though.
Well, I think he's a team like, how do I explain this? Like a team that's just starting their window where there's expectations, but not cup expectations. Gotcha. Where there's playoff expectations.
Like Detroit could be a fit.
Yeah, because, yes, exactly. That's a good example. Like with Gallant, he's brought into Vegas, no expectations, they overperform. He's brought into New York. Remember, that was the rebuild letter season. He overperformed expectations, did well. The second there was proper expectations, they gave him the boot because he can't deliver on it.
Just side note, ironically, I'm listening to the Spin Chicklets episode. I was like halfway through or just over halfway through from today, and they had Merrick on the pod, and Merrick was saying, don't expect Detroit to fire their coach anytime soon.
Lalonde.
Well, yeah, he's an Eisenman guy. The owners have owned them since, I believe, the 80s, like 82 or 88 or some shit like that.
Well, it's the Ilitches. And remember, Mike, the old guy, has been dead for about 7, 8 years. And that's also coincidentally when they started to really suck. So it's his son, Chris, who controls the team, which I find interesting.
They have never fired a coach midseason as long as they've owned the team.
Yeah, because I guess Blasso, they just let him go in the offseason. Yeah. I mean, Lalonde, he's an Yzerman guy. He worked for him in Tampa. That would be admitting a failure on Yzerman's behalf.
Want to go to Juracek trade?
Sure.
Okay. So, David Juracek, 6th overall pick in Columbus in 2022, has barely got any ice time in Columbus. I find it hard that they just won't develop him properly. Is now likely getting traded. He kind of wants to change the scenery, get more playing time. I have zero clue where he's going to land. Like, it literally could be to any team in the league because I think everyone's, like, interested in him. I think there's a lot of teams who want him. But I have no idea what's going to happen, what the package is going to look like. I don't know. You want to go with this?
Yeah, like, it's surprising. He was 6th overall pick, 2021. That's not long ago. He's a young, decent skating, offensive, right-handed defenseman. Feels like teams should be tripping over themselves to draft and develop these type of players. It's just been, I think he's one of those players who was really hurt by the turmoil in Columbus. Not necessarily on the ice, but with the coaches. Because remember, what's his name? Brad Larson. 2 years, fired. Didn't shit job.
Wasn't
Mike Bat? No, it was two. Vincent was one. Brad Larson, 2 years. Mm. Everyone hated him. Because it was too lackadaisical, fired him. Mike Babcock, we all know what happened there. Didn't even make it to training camp. Fired. Pascal Vincent, put in a really tough situation. Does a shit job. Even went below their low expectations. They fired his ass. And then they bring in Dean Evason, who's known as a hard-ass coach. David Juracek, he couldn't... Not one of his coaches have liked him. Of all the coaches he played for. He's played for Vincent and Evason. Neither of them like him. I remember hearing reports Juracek last year was unhappy staying in Cleveland to the AHL team. He wanted to be moved up to the NHL where he could play consistently. That eventually happened. They didn't give him the minutes. This has been brewing for a while. He is not happy there. In terms of teams, everyone should be on this guy because you're dealing him at his absolute bottom of the value. I was reading today that They want a comparable level prospect for him. So like a previous first round pick. I don't see how they can get that considering how unproven he is and how he's flamed out so quickly there. Really, he could go anywhere. Just a few teams I was thinking of. I was thinking Edmonton. I'm thinking Seattle.
Of course you're
maybe.
Thinking Edmonton.
Well, that's the team that's been rumored the most, so he can't hit me on
I've
that
heard
one.
Edmonton, I've heard Edmonton doesn't have the
Savoy.
Assets, so I don't
So
think so.
either you, if they want draft picks, you give them the Broberg and Holloway draft picks. A second, a third, and a prospect.
Okay.
Seattle, I think they want to accelerate their timeline. I could see it there. I know Vancouver's been ruled out by, I think it was Dhaliwal who said that.
Cervelli.
Cervelli, okay. Carolina, maybe they want him. They have plenty. They got some underrated prospects. There could be a lot of teams because, frankly, these type of players, it kind of reminds me of Jonathan Drouin a few years ago, where, well, not a few years ago, almost a decade ago, but of when a player who's drafted high gets into a spat, it becomes public, it becomes ugly, and it's rare that players on entry-level contracts request trades. Extremely rare. So I'm interested to see. I think it's got to be done by the end of the week because a player like him, he needs to play.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Based off, well, I mean, I apparently was close last night and then it just didn't fall through. So I feel
Weird.
Like.
It's weird that we don't have a team.
Yeah, there's no front runner from what everyone's been saying.
Maybe Calgary.
Calgary's up there. Calgary's rumored. I know that for sure. I think if I had to guess, is it going to be something similar to the Cutter Gauthier package, like Drysdale on a second?
It could be, but his I know he's drafted sixth overall, just like Drysdale, but
Yeah.
Drysdale had a season and a half under his belt. Yurchek's hardly played.
Yeah, so.
And Drysdale was hyped because he was on the World Junior team that did well.
I don't know. I've heard Minnesota maybe. They could pack part with like Ogren, Yurov. They got like a couple still to come. So, and there are more so forward prospects, I'm pretty
we
sure.
We know
so.
Minnesota needs young, cheap players with the way their cap situation is with the dead cap. And Yakov Trenin, who's been an absolute flop at $3.5 million for the next 3 years after this, when he has no goals in 20 games. I was reading an ESPN article about that today. But yeah, I could see Minnesota, maybe Nashville, if they want to
I've heard that
do
one too.
kind of a reload of sorts, because we know Trotz is threatening a rebuild. You can't do it. You can't do it with the way they're set up. There's too much term, too much money, too much age. You can't do it. And admitting failure before even like a new year, that's untenable for me.
I've heard Philly even too, speaking of Drysdale.
I'll tell you right now, that's not happening.
Okay.
Tortorella would kill him. He would. He would kill him. He would murder him in plain sight. That's not a Tortorella player.
Yeah, I don't. It's weird because how little Seattle has like wanted to develop him too.
Columbus.
Yeah, sorry, it's Columbus. I was thinking Seattle is a trade destination.
Ooh, speaking of Seattle, you know what? I just have a bit of a conspiracy theory.
Shane Wright.
Yeah.
One
he
for
has
one.
4 points, I think, in 20 games.
One for one.
I think Wright's value is a little higher than that. I think Columbus would have to throw in like a second or something.
Maybe you're checking a third?
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe. Because Columbus, who are their centers?
They were the same draft,
Fantilli.
Right? They were the same draft, right? 2022?
No. Yurchek's 2021. I'm 95% sure of that.
I thought Yurchek was 2022.
I'm 93.8%
sure. I saw
sure
Jay
that
Fresh
is.
Post on it today. I'm looking it up.
Jay Fraud.
Hey,
I like
hey.
Jay Fresh. I like Jay Fresh. He's just a little snarky for me. Actually, no. That's Dom. I'm thinking of Dom's really snarky. Hold on. I'm looking it up. 2021 NHL draft. I'm sure it's 2021 because that was the year they got a Carson Kuhlman.
2022 sixth overall pick, David Yurchek, it says.
What? 2021, that must have been the Sillinger draft. Kent Johnson, that's
Kent
what I'm
Johnson.
Thinking of. Yeah, it was Johnson and Sillinger. And then Corson Kuhlman, right. Okay. Mea culpa.
So, that same draft, because Wright was 2022.
What a
so
terrible
they went
draft.
Two picks. Well, I don't blame it terrible draft. I blame COVID a little bit.
2021?
They lost so much development time. 2022 and 2021.
I'm still hung up on Tyler Boucher, man. Do you want to know? I told this to Zach yesterday. Want to play a game? I want to play how many points did Tyler Boucher have in as many games?
Oh no.
Yesterday he played 12 games. Guess the points.
3.
Okay. Guess the goals first.
1.
No. Do you think more or less?
Less.
Yes, he has 0 goals. How many assists do you think he has?
2.
No.
1.
No.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
Oh no.
He has no points in 12 games. He might not play in the NHL. He might not play. There's a non-zero chance he never plays a game. He has 0 points. And last year, I think he played 20 games in the AHL. I think he had 5 points. He might not play. Oh, Pierre Dorion, you'll pay for your crimes at the Hague.
If you had to pick where you think Yaroshuk's going, pick one team.
I'm gonna say Calgary.
Okay, I kind of like that.
Maybe
I'm,
for Peltier. He hasn't fit in there.
It'd be Peltier and a plus probably, but yeah, I could see something like that.
I'm gonna say Calgary.
Because
he'll play, especially if they want to get rid of Anderson.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with. I kind of like Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think they could part with one of their young forward prospects and do something. And
Brock
I've seen
Faber?
No, not him. Like a Ogren, Yurov, that kind of because they got a couple of them. I forget who else still needs to come up, but they got a couple prospects up there. Shout out Judd Brackett, ex Canucks head scout, cooking up in Minnesota now.
I thought he was overrated too.
He was not.
Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was. Only in this market would a head scout be hyped up as much as him.
Dude, have you like realized how bad our drafts have been
yes.
since he's left?
I've been saying that it was bad before he left. Because remember, I've been making a big deal about how Benning blew 3 top 10 picks. If Judd Brackett was that good, he would have convinced him otherwise.
Well, keep in mind.
That's the head scout's job is to convince.
Keep in mind, Benning wanted Cody Glass. Brackett said, no, you're taking Elias Pettersson.
So good. You got that one. Why'd they take Yalevi? Brackett was there too.
I don't have an it. This one is Jim Benning. Jim Benning was hell bent on drafting a defenseman.
Why'd they take Cole Lind? Jonah Gadjevich.
Hey, that guy's a Stanley Cup champion.
I'll quiet you. So is Patrick Maroon.
Canada Four Nations time?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Same
this
format.
Is an interesting one because this is the worst I've felt about a best on best in my lifetime.
As a Canada roster?
Yeah. Because I remember 2014 was so special. Like, I remember thinking, like, we are the best team by far. And maybe that was partially youthful naivete, but my Canada team is not as good as the American team, objectively. I think there's aspects they're better at, but they're not a better team overall.
Let's hear the forward core.
Okay. On the first line, I have Braden Point with Connor McDavid and Mitch Marner. I went with that because I think having Marner's playmaking alongside Connor McDavid's speed is well offset by Braden Point's defensive ability and sniping abilities. Point is a kind of a hybrid player. He's an excellent shooter and passer. I think he complements the two of them well.
Point's got speed too, so that's a very fast line.
Second line, I have Sam Reinhart with Nathan MacKinnon and Mark Stone. I'm assuming Mark Stone is going to be healthy, which you never really know with Mark Stone. Nathan MacKinnon, I think, has passed Connor McDavid as the fastest player in the game, and Mark Stone is a very slow player, so you need to have someone fast play with him. And Mark Stone is one of the smartest, most cerebral, and defensive stalwarts on the wing in the game of hockey, and Nathan MacKinnon is not a strong defensive player despite his plethora of talent. When you're Nathan MacKinnon, you don't need to be good at defense. I think having Mark Stone there will be good for him. And Sam Reinhart, one of, if not the best goal scorers in the league, at least this season, because Matthews hasn't, even when he's been playing, he hasn't been scoring like he usually does. I think that's a really good top six. And then we see the drop off a little bit. On the third line, I have Brad Marchand, who's been named on the team already, Sidney Crosby, and Mark Scheifele. Sidney Crosby's had a good year. He's been very good. I think he's like a point under point per game. But defensively, he's fallen off a cliff, and the team around him stinks. So he hasn't quite been at the level we expect. Marchand's been good enough, too. You need him for some penalty killing, some snarl, and he can chip in on offense. And, of course, who can forget the 2016 World Cup where him, Crosby, and Bergeron lit it up? And I think they played World Junior and World Championships together. You keep them together for a little bit of chemistry, a little bit of leadership. And Mark Scheifele, we all know, is having a stellar season with an excellent goal scorer. And I think it would be malpractice to leave him off. And he's on the wing here, which means a bit less defensive responsibility for him because we know defense isn't his game. Fourth line, I have Alexis Lafreniere with Matt Barzal, I'm assuming he's healthy, and Steven Stamkos. Mm-hmm. I don't expect this line to play very much. They're very much the de facto fourth line. Lafreniere's had a really good year. He's young. He brings a little bit of speed to that line, along with Barzal, who's extremely fast. And Steven Stamkos, I expect just to be a gunner on the power play. I cannot see him playing heavy minutes, maybe score a bit at even strength. He'll play the wing. He won't play any center. He'll play with Lafreniere and Barzal, who are both really fast. We know Stamkos has lost a step or two in the speed department. This season, I do expect him to be on the roster, though, because you need goals, right? That's the name of the game. Canada does not have the goaltending to out-defense its problems. They have to score to win. Hold on. I did do extras for this one.
Okay.
My 13th forward is Connor Bedard.
Okay.
I think they won't include him.
Is Connor Bedard at risk of not making this team, though? That's my question. Because he has nothing that good.
I think they want to just include him.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's not even like a good rationale. I just think they want him to be there to experience it.
Can you give me your second line again? I'm just making sure you didn't miss one of the guys I have on it.
Sam Reinhart, Nathan MacKinnon, Mark Stone.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. Mine. I don't have your entire fourth line on my team.
Yeah.
It's all.
I know Barzal's hurt right now. I just felt they needed his speed.
Gotcha. I went Connor McDavid, centering Sam Reinhart and Carter Verhaeghe on my first line.
Wow. Verhaeghe played that well.
Yeah, he's been good. Actually, not good. Sorry. I think he's like 15 points in like 20-ish games. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. All right. Continue.
Stanley Cup champion, man.
Okay. I guess I got to call up Zach Aston-Reese.
I got Brad Marchand, Sidney Crosby, Nathan MacKinnon, second line, the Nova Scotia boys. My third line is Brandon Hagel, Braden Point, and Mark Stone. Hagel has been good.
Yep, I know. I just can't put him on the team.
Gotcha.
I can't do it.
My fourth line is Nick Suzuki, centering Anthony Cirelli and Mitch Marner.
Okay. I thought about Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
If and they go purely on merit, I could see him being the 13th forward.
My 13th forward is Connor Bedard. Almost didn't make my team. I was really tempted to put Travis Konecny in that spot.
Yeah, I think, honestly, Konecny could honestly make the team. If they decide Stamkos is too slow, I could see Konecny making the team because he's really good. He's really underrated.
Yeah, I wanted to put him on. I just couldn't find room. I think they're going to take Bedard for whatever. Like, they just want Bedard to be involved kind of thing. And I think that Bedard's just going to be 13th forward, kind of be the power play. Maybe he can work his way into a spot in the lineup more consistently, but...
Bedard's season's been concerning. For sure, he's not scoring. He has no help. Taylor Hall is completely washed. Mikheyev can't finish. Teravainen's more of a playmaker. They've screwed up Chicago, not giving him enough support. I think that's objective. So we'll see. We'll see if in the 3 months before the tournament, 2.5 months, if he can pick it up a little bit. But that's a very good forward core. Is it better than the Americans? I don't know. Just looking at what I have, Hughes, Matthews, Tkachuk, Gensel, Eichel, and other Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk, Connor, Thompson, Caulfield. Like, I don't know. Like, I think their bottom six is definitely better than our bottom six.
I think the States overall is probably better, but you're boosted up by having McDavid and MacKinnon, the two best, and in my opinion, clear and best first and second best players.
Well, also, this might not matter, but I'm looking at the Americans and I'm looking at their forward core. I see, okay, my argument's falling apart a little bit here, but I was going to say there wasn't many Stanley Cup winners. They have three: Matthew Tkachuk, Jake Gensel, and Jack Eichel. Yeah, my argument's completely falling apart here. The Canadians only have, actually, no. 1, 2, 3, 4,
McKinnon,
5.
Marchand, Ryan
on mine. MacKinnon, Marchand, Crosby, Stamkos, and Point. So they have more. there's more cup winning experience there. Plus Crosby's been to the Olympics. I think he's the only player I have on my team that's been to the Olympics. Nope, that's not true, actually. He's one of the only ones. I don't think the Americans have anybody. Not counting the 2018 Olympics or no. in 2021. I think Boldy might have.
Sorry,
been
how
there.
Many how many forwards up front did you have that were cup champions?
Okay. Reinhardt, McKinnon, Crosby, Marchand, Stamkos.
Okay. Stone. I have Stone. Oh, I have yeah, I
so
have
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, I did have an argument. I knew I had an argument there. They have 7 cup winners in their forward core.
I have 10 in my team because I believe Hagel won with Tampa, right? Am I not tripping on? I think on one of the years.
I don't know.
I forget what year.
No,
he was...
no, I don't think so. I think he's traded there in 2022. Because they had Goudreau and Coleman, I think, were the big additions.
Right.
I don't think they had Hagel. But anyway, there's 7 on my team.
9 then, because I got Sorelli, I got Pauline, I got Stone.
Plus McDavid, who's been to a final.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I counted McDavid, so 8 for me. I don't... Fuck.
You have 8 players on your forward core who have won cups?
Verhaeghe, Reinhardt, Marchand, Crosby, McKinnon, Hagel... No, wait, Hagel we're on the fence about. Point, Stone, Sorelli. So 8 for sure. Hagel would be 9.
Okay. Okay, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 in my forward core.
To the defense?
Yep.
Okay, I have a surprising pick, I think, on this. And then I'm curious to see what
Me
you
too.
Thought.
I think I might. Okay, first pairing, I think this is obvious. Devon Taves, Cale Makar. Obvious. Second pairing, Shea Theodore, Alex Pietrangelo. I'd be shocked if our top forwards differentiate. Third pair, I have Josh Morrissey of the Winnipeg Jets and Evan Bouchard of the Edmonton Oilers. That may surprise some people. Bouchard's been better than the numbers suggest. He's been fucked sideways by Skinner's horrible goaltending. He's been better than people are saying. And I think you need an offensive game breaker besides Makar on the defense. And as my 7th defenseman, I have Drew Doughty.
He's close.
If he can play, and I don't know exactly when he's coming back. If he can play 10 games, that's the barometer I'm giving him. If he can play 10 games before the Four Nations, he's on the team. I think his experience is invaluable. He's still incredibly good. He's a right shot, which if Bouchard sucks, they can put him in. He's won a cup. He's won 2 Olympics. I'm pretty sure he's won a World Juniors in there. His leadership and experience, I think, are going to be invaluable. He can kill penalties. He can play on the penalty kill. He's very well-rounded. So I'm expecting if he can play his 10 games, that's my threshold. If he can play 10 games, he'll be on the team. If he can't, he won't make it.
Yeah. Okay. Our first 5 are the same. I have Taves Makar, Theodore, Pietrangelo, Morrissey. I almost wanted to move Morrissey up higher over Theodore. Like Morrissey's been really, really good this year. I just kind of stuck with the teams. I if you can't tell based off my predictions, I like putting players who play on the same team together. It's kind of my way.
Quickly on that point. I understand why you do that. I thought about Hyman. I need the best players. Because 2014, putting Chris Kunitz there in the end, it didn't matter. But until the gold medal game, he did fuck all with Crosby. They had to demote him. He was the 13th forward by the end of the tournament. I really hesitate about putting the best players together.
That's why I put Reinhardt with McDavid, because I think Reinhardt and Hyman are Reinhardt's more skilled in my opinion, but they're kind of like the similar. They score a lot into goals in front of the net. Let's say that. So I feel like they can him and McDavid can mesh well. Morrissey wanted to move higher. My 6th defenseman though is Mackenzie Weegar.
Okay.
And Evan Bouchard is my 7th defenseman. I'm gonna assume Doughty doesn't like get back enough games, or there's sketch about the injury. And Uyghur's been really good this year, and I think they're kind of gonna value that, like, big physical, will block shots, can munch minutes if he needs to, kind of vibe, like playing a shutdown role almost. They already have that in Pietrangelo, you could say. I get that, but never a bad idea to have 2 of them and then just kind of let Makar go run wild offensively.
Yeah. And my exception for the rather not have the teammates play together, clearly defensive matters more than forwards. The familiarity.
Yeah.
And plus, no one's debating Taves or Theodore being on the team. They deserve to be there. Want to just for fun, want to go over special teams?
I guess.
We can just go off the cuff here. I don't really have it prepared, but just because this could be quite fun.
What are you doing, like a 1-3-1 setup?
Yeah, I think so. Like
okay,
four
so
forwards and a defenseman.
You're putting McDavid on whatever side he plays in Edmonton. I believe him. He kind of rotates on that right side with Draisaitl.
Yeah, because Draisaitl usually gets the one-timer.
Yeah, so you put him there. I think you put McKinnon on the other side for the 1T.
Yep, because he's a right shot.
Makar up top.
I put Point down low, and I put Reinhardt in the bumper. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One,
I
two,
see where you're going there.
Three,
mm-hmm.
four. Yep. So Point, McDavid, Reinhardt, McKinnon.
You could flip those two even too.
And then, of course,
I think Point plays the bumper in Tampa, so maybe he goes there and Reinhardt goes net front.
Yeah, we'll see. But anyway, Point, McDavid, Reinhardt, McKinnon are my forwards. Makar is my defense on the first power play unit.
And then second would probably be like
Crosby, Marner, Stamkos is one timer, and Scheifele probably roving around. Maybe you put Lafreniere on there too.
See, this is where
probably do Bouchard on the second power play unit.
This is where it gets interesting for me because I don't have. I feel like I went defense heavy in the wait. So cross off the. So you go Crosby, obviously probably 1T side or down low, probably down low.
Down low.
Yeah. I guess Verhaeghe's in it on 1T on the right side, maybe. Maybe Marchand's playing bumper. Or I guess it wouldn't really work if you had it like that. I'm not sure how it would work out. Does Marner or Stone play the other 1T side? And then, yeah, I would
it
probably.
It won't be Marner. Marner's
I put either
playmaker.
Bouchard or Morrissey on the point.
I go Bouchard. He's got a weapon.
Yeah, that's why I would.
If Bouchard's on the team, he has to be at least on one of the power play units.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I can't. Oh, actually, you know what? I'd put Bedard on it. I think that's kind of what the 13th forward is. You play the special teams like power play where you penalty kill, and then you kind of really don't play much 5-on-5.
Yeah. If Bedard's on the team, he won't play almost at all 5-on-5.
But you never know because Bedard, World Juniors, different team, obviously, but he did. He started as 13th forward, I believe, when he was 16, and then he just made his way up first line by the end of it. So, goaltending is where it gets very concerning with Canada.
Yeah. I saw I think it was NHL.com did their last prediction today, and their goaltending was ghastly because I disagreed with it on a multitude of fronts.
Can I say mine first? Because I had the exact same as NHL.com today. And it wasn't...
Wow.
I made this list before it came out, but then I saw it after. I'm like, shit. yeah. So, Logan Thompson, Aiden Hill, and Cam Talbot.
Who's starting?
I went Logan Thompson.
Okay.
I could see a world where it's Cam Talbot, and I'm not happy about that.
That can't happen. That can't happen. That can't happen. It's a flash in the pan. Cam Talbot does this every year. He starts really strong and then dies when his workload gets too much.
Okay, who's yours?
Okay. I'm sticking with it, Nathan. Jordan Binnington, Aiden Hill, and Logan Thompson.
Okay, I thought you were saying Stuart Skinner.
Fuck no. Are you insane? He's been horrible. No. No. Jesus H. Christ. No. Got to get me on crazy pills if I was picking. And I like Stuart Skinner more than the average person, but he's been horrible this year. He's been horrible in every conceivable way. So who starts? If it's today, it's Logan Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm projecting by the time February rolls around and when the tournament is ready, Jordan Binnington's stats will have recovered. They're going to get a new coaching bump from Jim Montgomery. They're going to be better defensively. And Jordan Binnington, I think his competitive edge will help him in a short tournament like this, as long as he keeps it under control and doesn't try and like fight Connor Hellebuck, which would be a mistake. Maybe be a good thing if he like, you know, beats him up so bad he can't play. But this is a weakness. This is a problem. This is the worst the Canadian goaltending has been probably ever in its existence. We were looking at the Olympic rosters from yesteryear, and even like the World Cup roster, Corey Crawford would be the undisputed starter today. Holtby would be the undisputed starter. And that's without even getting to like Canadian legends of Price, Luongo, Brodeur. Like, this is rough. None of these goaltenders that I have outside of Thompson, you can say has been strong this season, because Aiden Hill's been up and down. So, worst goaltending of the four nations by far.
Yeah.
Even you can argue like nations that aren't here. Like, does
Russia.
Czechia.
Russia kills them.
Yeah. Russia. Czechia, I can't place it off the top of my head, but it would probably be comparable. It's tough. Kids don't want to be goaltenders growing up. They want to score.
Well, does today's financial situation also
that's
play a part
of it.
Like, nobody wants to pay for goalie gear anymore.
Yeah, that's part of it.
I mean, this kind of wraps up our Four Nations prediction over the past 4 weeks. The roster comes out on the 4th, though, doesn't it?
That's Canada.
I think it's
yes,
all.
Yes, you're right, because Finland and Sweden is early in the day, and then later is Canada, USA. They're going to televise it and do a whole thing,
so,
which is cool. I want to see that.
Uh-huh. So
what day is the 4th?
The Wednesday. So we're not going to be able to break down for 2 weeks.
Break it down.
So yep. We'll do an episode next week of nothing Four Nations talk, and then break it down. Final prediction, who wins? I know you're off screen for a second. I don't know if you can still hear me. I guess you can't. I'll just say mine. I'm still saying the States. They have the best defense in the tournament, I would say. Probably the deepest forward core, maybe not the top star and talent that Canada does, but it's like still very good. Sorry, I'm just saying the States are still gonna my pick to win the tournament.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I think Canada will win.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get a 900 save percentage. If they can't get a 900 save percentage in a short tournament, there's a chance they finish last. There's a situation where they just get blitzed and they can't get any saves. That could just happen. I hope it doesn't happen.
Then it's going to be great to see for McDavid's Canada legacy. Fans are going to bash him for doing shit.
Well, fuck off, Nathan. He's got a world championship and a world juniors.
Oh, I know, but you know how people act online. They will bash him, being like, dude, how is it your first best on backs, best action?
That's not his fault. It's his first best on best. Yeah. It's Skip Bettman and, you know, not going to mention countries, but a certain country with the pandemic. But, oh, God, I'm going to have CCP agents after me now. Like Daryl Morey. But I need Olympics back. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need the full groups. I need the shit teams. I need the Great Britons and the Frances of the world to be there. I need a full experience. And I hope nothing happens to screw it up in 2028.
World War III ruins it. That's my prediction. Just kidding.
World War III.
Me and you
in some Ukraine farm field, as I get shot in the stomach by a Russian soldier, my life flashes before my eyes, and I see Jordan Binnington getting lit up in the Four Nations final against Sweden.
Shall we go to the MLB?
Yeah.
Okay. Yusei Kikuchi will start there.
Yusei Kikuchi.
Signs 3 years, $63 million with the goddamn Los Angeles Angels. Another instance where they're paying a guy and now he's going to die. So I'm sorry, Yusei, you suck now. That's just the way it goes when you sign with the Angels.
There's a 0% chance he has an ERA below 450. Coming up, there's not a chance in hell he's gonna do well there, because no one does well there. It's not gonna happen. It never works.
The Angels have added $48 million to their payroll and given out $112 million in contracts overall to start the year. Signed Kikuchi, they signed Kevin Newman, Travis d'Arnaud, Kyle Hendricks, and Jorge Soler now.
All like Thanos, all that for a drop of blood, all that for a fourth place finish.
All that to beat the Athletics.
Yeah, which I mean, that shouldn't be that hard.
No. And do they even still beat? Did they beat the Athletics last year?
Yeah, I think they did.
Are we sure? I feel like the Athletics might have came fourth in that division. I'm checking right now. The Athletics came fourth. They beat them by six games. Angels were one loss off 100.
That's pretty funny.
God, I hate baseball offseason though. Like the Angels are the only team that's done shit. And it's the Angels, so you know it's gonna they're gonna all gonna suck.
Yeah, there's no point.
Yeah, anyways. Top five starter predictions. Okay. Where is it? Mine. My list went number one, Corbin Burns. Number two, I don't know. Sasaki. I forget his first name. I'm blanking on it.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
The Japanese player getting posted. Blake Snell, number three. Max Fried, number four. Jack Flaherty, number five.
Yeah, that's more or less what I had. I had Kikuchi a few days ago, but
Now he's signed, yeah.
yeah, so I thought he'd go back to Seattle, but in the end, that was not the case.
Okay. Corbin Burns.
You want
Very
to do the
back. Yep, same
same
thing.
deal? Okay.
Three. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Okay.
Three,
Three,
two,
two,
one,
one,
Red Sox.
Atlanta.
Okay. I don't hate it because they're gonna lose Fried.
Yep, that's my replacement.
Gotcha. I went Red Sox. They've been linked. I feel like they're kind of like the favorites for him, but I'm a little scared he wants to be back on the West Coast, though.
Maybe.
That's my only thing. I thought the Angels might be him, but then they signed Kikuchi, so I kind of ruled that out. But Sasaki,
Yes.
keep in mind he can't sign a mega deal.
Right.
He only can sign based off like international pooling money or whatever. Three, two,
Two,
one,
one, San
Dodgers.
Francisco.
Don't hate it. Sorry, I was gonna say don't like it. I was gonna say what? I meant don't hate it.
Mom, can you close the door? Oh, fuck. Whoops. Mute on. Alas. Never mind.
Yeah, I West Coast, Japanese West Coast. I don't know. It's kind of where I'm thinking. Just off screen for a sec, so I'm blabbing. There's been long, 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 long rumors of him signing with the Dodgers because they got all the Japanese players, Yamamoto, Ohtani. He's gonna follow suit. They have the international pooling money, I believe, to make it happen. So. You're, I can't hear you. Is your mic off?
Yep. Whoops. Yes. Yeah, I could totally see that as the point. I just think my spoiler alert, Blake Snell's not going back to the Giants. I think that's who they want to replace him.
Okay. Yeah, that's her. I don't have a Snell replacement on my list, but yeah, we'll see. Next up, Snell. Three,
Three,
two,
two,
one,
one.
New York Mets.
Houston.
Don't, yeah, okay. I can see it. Replace
I see the Mets
Kikuchi.
as well.
Replace,
Yep.
yeah.
Houston. This is almost it for Houston. It's almost the last dance. Might as well maximize it.
Yeah, I don't like the Mets rotation kind of as it is come playoff time. I feel like they need an alpha in it, and that's why I went Snell.
Oh. Sorry, I'm
Because
monopolizing.
right now it's, who's the Japanese pitcher they have? Fuck.
Kodai Senga.
Yeah, he's their ace, which like he's good, but
Yeah.
I don't know if he's an ace. I'd rather him be a number two or number three in a rotation. So go get their guy. They're probably and just I mean, if they get Soto too, they're having a huge offseason pain, and we know Cohen's not afraid to pay. So, Max Fried.
Just give me one second here.
Okay. Oh my God, that's a chair. What's going on, Joseph? Why is there just what kind of are you like trying to torture me or something with this chair? Is that what the idea is? Am I gonna be like strapped to this and like electrocuted or like haunted by a ghost in it. It kind of looks like it's like a chair you'd sit on if you get haunted by a ghost. I'm just rambling. I don't know what's going on. I was saying that chair looks like a chair you would get strapped in to be like electrocuted or like haunted by a ghost. I don't know. Yeah. Your mic's muted again. Still can't hear
That's the point, you dumbass.
you.
It's just a green chair. It's like literally just like a. It's like 19. Picture the most 1973 chair you can imagine. It's just a green chair.
I don't know. I was, yeah. Max Fried.
Yes, Max Fried. Okay,
Three,
three,
two,
two,
one.
one.
Baltimore
Blue
Orioles.
Jays.
Wow. Why do they want a starting pitcher? Why do they want
That's
to go?
the only player I'm expecting them to sign. And they're going to give him a ton of money, and he's going to be good because I don't think Bassett's making it through the year
No, I think he'd
on the
probably be
team
traded.
because he's such a whiner. And part of it is justified because the team sucks. But I can't see Shapiro and Atkins putting up with his shit much longer.
I could be see him traded this offseason.
Yeah.
I don't think it's part of the question. There was rumors at the deadline, so I could see him being gone by then. But I'm saying Fried to the Orioles to replace Corbin Burns.
Okay.
And lefty, well, even though the fence has been moved back in a little bit once again in Baltimore, I think lefties still pitch well in Baltimore because they don't give up that right side pull power as much. It's not going to be as effective with the wall so deep. You saw that they're bringing the wall back in a little bit though, right?
I did see that.
Good, because I hated the home, what's the Statcast thing where it's like it's a home run in 29 of 30 ballparks. The only one it's not a home run in, Camden Yards.
Or my other favorite one. This is a home run in one of 30 ballparks, and it's New York Yankees right field.
Finally, Jack Flaherty.
One second, hold on.
Joseph just went zero dark 30 mode now. Is that a towel over the. Oh, Joseph is gone. Hold on. Fix this. Okay. Back after the technical break, we'll call it. Jack Flaherty.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Three,
Three,
two,
two,
one.
one.
San Diego
Boston.
Padres.
I'm going to Boston. I
Don't know.
think
It just seemed.
they got to spend some money or the fans are going to kill them. They're
Yeah,
going to storm the field.
that's why I went Burns there. I went Flaherty to the Padres because I don't know, it just seems like a weird Padres kind of signing. They usually sign a starter, I find, in the offseason, like every year. It's just kind of always someone out of the left field or something. And I believe Flaherty's a West Coast guy. I think he's from LA, so I could see him wanting to stay close to home.
Maybe. I mean, the Padres, they got to capitalize a little bit because Machado's getting older. Bogart's getting older.
How
They're
old is
going to lose
Machado now?
Snell, or Snell's not there anymore. Machado's got to be 31, 32 by now.
I feel like he's older.
He's not the athlete he used to be.
Because Machado's been around for years, so.
Well, I was looking up and he was like, when he was an Oriole and he like 2016 wild card, he was like 23, which stunned me.
He's 32.
Yeah, okay.
But he's been around since 2014?
Earlier. I think he's 2012 or he's drafted 20. He was the Harper draft, whatever that year was.
2012.
I think so. No, Harper debuted in 2012.
2011.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
Anyways, that's another prediction for the MLB, and we still have like zero action. What a surprise!
It's like me in high school.
Although we are getting Juan Soto teams. Well, I'm not gonna. I'm not.
Oh, do you hear the conspiracies today?
Well,
That he
the.
mentioned like Celsius or some crap like that. And people are like, oh, he's
Yeah,
going
and
to
they
the
were saying
Blue Jays.
Orioles.
It's not happening.
Were you saying Blue Jays?
Well, because he mentioned there's like some kind of Celsius
It's an
thing, like no
energy
fair.
drink.
I know, but people are like, oh, it means he's coming to Canada because they use Celsius. Like, no, I'm not playing
No.
this game.
And Celsius is owned by the Orioles manager, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, you dumbass. I'm just saying because of the because America used Fahrenheit, Canada uses Celsius. People are,
Gotcha. Okay.
yeah. So I'm just not doing it. I'm not playing that game this year.
Did you see the five teams that all offered him a deal though?
Yeah,
Red Sox,
New York,
Yankees,
New York.
Mets,
Yeah,
Jays, and who was the other one? Was it
Red Sox.
Dodgers?
Did you get Red Sox?
Red Sox, I said. Red Sox, Yankees,
Yankees,
Mets,
Blue
Jays,
Jays.
and was it Dodgers was the other one?
Maybe. I can't remember.
Yep, Dodgers. It's Dodgers. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a very good chance the superstar outfielder picks his next team before the winter meetings begin
Well,
December 8th, a source told Sean
please.
McAdam of Mass Live.
Please, that's straight from Boris. That's just get your offers in now so I can think about them and ask you for more.
The Athletic's Jim Bowden reported Sunday that involved teams expect the deal to be between $550 million to $650 million, though Miller stated it's believed Soto's looking for more than $700 million with no deferred money.
I'm not playing. I'm not playing this game. I'm
No,
not playing it.
he's not
It's
going to
he's
the
not
Jays.
signing. He's not signing before January at the
Con
earliest.
congrats. Five teams made offers. There is four teams that are finalists.
It's not happening.
No. Not
It's
getting my
I'm
hopes up.
not even like even if I see like
If you
if
see
it's
there's a
no.
plane en route to Toronto, are you getting excited?
Oh my God, your buddy Two Wolves has just given me a trade I can't refuse.
What's the deal?
Me giving him Giannis for Shea. I'm taking this.
Whoa.
I'm totally taking this. I'm taking this tomorrow. I'm taking this right now.
He
Me
actually
giving him.
legit just like straight up offered it.
Yeah.
Just one for one, nothing else.
Yeah. I'm taking this.
He's the wait. He's giving Shea's the number one player in fantasy right now. He's just giving him up for Giannis. Okay, yeah, do it.
Except.
Do it.
Thanks, Bryce. Is that Bryce?
What the fuck?
Oh, hold on. I gotta hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. I need to pause here because I gotta
See,
take Ke stop, shut up. I gotta take Kessler off IR.
you didn't like my
Shut up.
trade?
Shut up, shut up, shut up. I gotta get. Shut up. I gotta do this. I can't not do this.
Yeah, hurry up.
Kessler, get the fuck off IL. Go on the bench. Oh, you piece of shit. Caruso, get the fuck off my roster. Drop. Fuck you. Get the fuck out of here. Sorry, excuse me. IL, get off roster. Bench. Why am I over the. What the fuck do you mean I'm over the max roster size? God damn it. No. DeRozan. DeRozan gets IR. Fast.
You just gotta move Kessler to,
I know I'm getting there.
yeah.
There we go. Transactions. Two wolves, two little boys. Yes. Except.
There it is. I can't believe he just offered you that straight up.
Quiet, you.
Like, that's crazy to get offered
I
straight up.
love Shea. I have Shea in my other league.
Oh, I know. Like, but how is he trading the number one player in fantasy for Giannis, who, yeah, it's Giannis, but like, he's not even been
He's
that.
limited. He's
Yeah.
limited. He can't shoot. Not that Shea's a great shooter either,
No,
but
but Giannis sucks for cats at because he can't hit free throws. He doesn't hit threes. Like, hit his. Field goal's good and stuff, but like,
I needed a point guard desperately
nah,
too,
good deal.
as
You
you
didn't
mentioned.
like my deal?
I'm still mulling it.
Okay.
Should I? What about this edging to ED? Should I veto this?
No, that's a good
Okay.
deal.
All right.
We I'm against vetoes, dude. I hate vetoes.
Because you always get vetoed.
Well, no, because vetoes are stupid. Especially.
Bryce just put in the chat trade bomb. I think I won that one, buddy.
Oh, you did. Trust
Have
me.
I met him? I think I have.
Yep, he's been on. He was on the pod or the pod.
Right. No, yes, right. Was he in person that one time? At the
No.
Shark Club?
No, he
Okay.
was not there.
Anyway, I'm back. Oh, really quickly before, because are we done with baseball? Do we need to talk anything else about baseball?
Nope.
The Whitecaps fired Vanni Sartini.
Yeah, I saw that.
I am vehemently against this move.
Okay.
Now, the Whitecaps had, by and large, a disappointing season. For the first time ever, they brought in a third designated player, Stuart Armstrong. For those who don't know, designated players mean they don't count towards your salary cap. You can spend whatever you like on them. That's how Miami is able to cheat so much with Messi because they pay him a shit ton of money. It's not against their salary cap. So the first time, or not the Raptors, the Whitecaps, who are very frugal, usually had a third designated player. Midway through the season, because the MLS is stupid, they don't do international breaks. The Whitecaps lost all their good players because they were playing for their national team, and they went on a skid. That means they had to play LAFC in the first round after they beat Portland. And LAFC is very good. They lost. Yes, you can blame Sartini for the skid. Yes, you can think they should have beat LAFC after losing to them this year. The issue with this is they don't have a coach ready. Vanni Sartini is the best coach this version of the Whitecaps has had by far. They've won three straight Canadian championships. They make the playoffs every year under him. Do they do particularly well in the playoffs? No, that's a problem. He's tactically limited. He loves the community. The community loves him. He's very engaging. He does a lot of work for them on the marketing side. It's very disappointing that they got rid of him. I'm really frustrated. They're just going to bring in some other cheap-ass coach because that's what the Whitecaps do. This is a mistake because Sartini's done nothing but he's done well. So I don't like it.
Fair.
End of story. Yeah. Unless they bring in like Jose Mourinho, then I'll be okay.
I am Jose Mourinho. Okay, NFL. I don't really want to go through the whole week because I didn't really watch a shit ton of games. But I wanted to bring up to you the NFC West because we talked about it last week, how important I said this is like the most important week of the NFC West in the season. Spoiler alert, it went perfectly for the Seahawks. They won and everyone else lost. But I'm curious. I want to go through each team's remaining schedule. I want you to tell me how they do in that remaining schedule, and then we will cook up who eventually like wins that division. So we're going to leave the Seahawks to last. So we'll start with Cardinals. This week, they are in Minnesota at 10 a.m. Sunday morning against Vikings. Do they win or do they lose?
This is this coming week?
Yes.
Against the Vikings. I say they win.
Little
they're in
action.
Minnesota, right? In Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have a dome. They don't need to worry about the snow. I think Arizona wins. Okay. I think Darnold's been lucky recently.
Little up to action. Don't hate it. Next week, they return home to face the Seahawks again.
In Arizona.
Yeah, this will once again be for first in the division. Keep in mind, I want to say this before we make him rewind. The Seahawks have beat them 5 times in a row or 6 times in a row. I'm not sure.
Okay. With that in mind, I'll go along with the Seahawks are going to win.
Nice. Like it. So that would bring them to 7-6. They then go stay at home the next week, hosting the Patriots.
They win.
8-6. Next week, they go on the road to Carolina.
They win.
As that's 9-6 now?
Yep.
The next week, they're on the road in L.A. at...
Which L.A.?
The Rams at 10 a.m. I don't know why that game's at 10 a.m. That makes no sense.
I think they're going to lose.
Okay. So that would bring them to 9-7. Last week, the regular season, probably needing a win to get into the playoffs or have a shot. They host the 49ers.
That's a loss.
So they finish 9-8. Got it.
Yeah.
I also had it that way, I believe. I think I had them beating the Rams, but losing to the Vikings. Next up, we will go with the 49ers since I see them next on my list. This week in Buffalo, Sunday night football, potential snow game, apparently.
That's a loss.
Yeah.
Buffalo's used to the snow.
5-7.
49ers, very much or not.
Mm-hmm.
And we've all seen Purdy be exposed as a above average quarterback and not an elite quarterback.
And he's hurt. Maybe he doesn't play. We don't know.
Who would it be? Not Lance.
Brandon Allen. They played him last weekend. They played him in Green Bay.
Right.
Following week, they return home to host the Chicago Bears and Mr. Caleb Williams.
That's a W for the Niners.
6-7. They then stay at home, host the Los Angeles Rams.
I like the Rams. I think they're going to win.
Okay, so they're 7-8. They then travel on the road, face the Miami Dolphins.
They're going to win.
Okay, so
I have no faith in the Dolphins.
that would be 6-8, 7-8 now. At home against the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football.
They're gonna get their shit kicked.
7-9. The Niners finished with a losing record, but because they played the Cardinals in the last week and you said they beat them, 8-9, missed the playoffs, obviously, because the Cardinals finished better.
Yeah. Could that be it for Shanahan?
No,
No, because
I don't think.
McCaffrey's missed. He hasn't been effective.
Give him another year. If
Yeah,
then it
one
goes
more.
poorly again, then yeah, you're
Not
on.
even if it goes poorly. You don't win the Super Bowl, you get rid of him.
And then finally, the Los Angeles Rams before we get to the Seahawks. They start this week on the road in New Orleans at 105.
Win.
So they are 6-6. They then go back home to host Buffalo.
Loss.
6-7. We said that then they go to the Niners. You said the Niners lose that game, so they are 7-7. On the road against the Jets.
That's a win.
8-7. The Cardinals, did you say they win that game? I forget.
Against the Rams?
Yeah, the week 17. I can check. I can check.
I think I said the Rams.
I think you said Cardinals. Let's see. So you said they win, lose, win, win. That's 9-7. Sorry, so wait. Seven, seven
I thought I said the
and
Rams because I
five,
said I like the
seven
Rams.
and six. Yeah, you said Rams. You said Rams. Pulling up the Rams schedule again. So that brings them to. You said they beat the Jets, correct?
Yes.
You said, wow, so they are 9-7 going into the last week against the Seahawks, probably for the division at this point, assuming you like Seattle's record at home. It says 10 a.m., but it's probably gonna actually
Rams
if it's if
it's
it's
in
for the
Los
division,
Angeles.
if it's for the division, it's probably gonna get moved to Sunday Night Football.
It's in Los Angeles.
Correct.
Rams Seahawks. Rams.
Yeah, fuck you. I knew you were gonna say that.
I hate the Seahawks. Can't help myself.
Okay, I'll pull up the Seahawks now. This week they start on the road against the Jets.
Win.
Okay, so 7-5. Then they go host or they on the road against Cardinals. You said they win that game. So 8-5. Next week they would host Green Bay on Sunday Night Football.
Love gonna play.
Should.
Okay. I got the Packers.
Nine and or 8-6. Then they host the Vikings the next week.
I think they're gonna win.
Okay.
I think the
Not
Vikings are gonna regress the next couple of weeks. They've been
nine,
lucky.
nine and six. At Chicago, Thursday Night Football the next week.
It's gonna be cold. Oh boy, it's a Thursday. Probably going to be a hard-fought game against Minnesota. I think this is going to be a Chicago Bears victory.
Okay, so they're 9-7 going into the final week. Play the Rams, so that game would be for the division in that case.
Yeah, but I
So
have the Rams
you
winning.
have the Rams winning the division. Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm gonna say, oh, well, I'm gonna say the Seahawks won the division. I'm gonna be biased, but
Yep, that's fair.
I think they're gonna finish 10-7. I think they are going to. You said they beat the Vikings, correct?
Seahawks?
Yeah. I have them losing that game. And I have
Okay.
them winning the Bear. Oh, you have them losing three of the last four. I have winning two. I have them going 2-2 in the last four. And then 4-2 in the last six. So
Okay.
I think they're going to finish 10-7. I think they're going to beat the Jets. I think they're going to beat the Cardinals. I think they're going to beat the Packers. And then I think they're going to drop to the Vikings. Because I look at them. I could totally see them losing the Packers too, but I don't like the matchup against the Vikings because Flores loves to blitz the hell out of quarterbacks, and the Seahawks O-line is shit. It's
Yeah.
a little bit better with Abe Lucas back, but their guards would get killed. Just send like straight down the pipe blitzes and Seahawks are cooked. So I think Geno could struggle that game, and that's why it would take the Vikings. And then I have, I'll say they lose to the Bears too, sure. And then they'll beat the Rams. That's my take.
Okay. I trust you. This is your division, you know.
Yeah. I think the Niners are cooked though.
Yeah.
Their schedule is too hard to come back from.
Yeah. That McCaffrey injury fucked them.
Yeah, well, not even that. It's just they couldn't beat, they lost to the Rams early in the year when they didn't have Puka or Kupp. They lost to the Cardinals before the Cardinals were really a serious kind of threat team. Like, that was the beginning of their hot streak. And then they lost to the Seahawks. They've lost three divisional games. You just cannot do that in a tight division. And they still have three more to go, or two more to go, because they've already played the Seahawks both times. But yeah, like, I think the Seahawks have the tiebreaker on the Niners now because of that win.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And I don't think they can give it back because I think strength schedule or something. I don't know how it goes. No, it's divisional record first, and the Seahawks already have a better one at the moment. I guess they could give it back. What are the Seahawks now? 2-2 in the division. So like one more and they've clinched it, I'm pretty sure, over the Niners. So you know what I am excited for though? Little Thanksgiving football this week.
True. I do find it funny that the NHL doesn't bother to schedule any games on Thanksgiving.
It's smart. Nobody's going to
watch
football.
I know it's smart, but I find it very funny that Batman just won't do it. You won't even consider it. Like, not even like a Blue Jackets Sabres game. Like, it's funny.
But they play on the Friday, I remember. Because yeah. I remember the Canucks played Columbus last year at like 10 a.m. Friday. You wanna preview the Thanksgiving games at all? Like, just quickly, you wanna rapidly pick?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, Bears Lions in Detroit.
Lions.
Yeah,
Lions. Fair enough. 30-point win.
The game that everyone's so excited to watch: the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, God, I mean, well, DeVito's not gonna play.
Well, I think he is though.
No, he's hurt.
He's hurt?
Yeah.
Is it Drew Lock season finally?
Might be. I hear Daniel Jones is available. They want to make a signing. That game might be it.
Playing?
Honestly, this game screams 13-13 tie.
Has a sore throwing arm after loss to the Bucks. Wow, boo hoo.
You know what, Nathan? I'm gonna say this is a tie. I'm gonna break out the ultra rare tie prediction. This is gonna be
a tie. There hasn't been a tie this year yet, so I don't
this
hate
is
it.
The one. Thanksgiving tie. Dallas fans might storm the Alamo again.
Lastly,
they might kill another president because that's what Dallas does when they're angry.
Lastly, Packers host the Dolphins. Pretty weird Thanksgiving scheduled matchup.
Very weird Thanksgiving schedule. These teams, I'm going to have to say Tua's been better lately, but he's one slide away from dying, so you never know. I'm going to say the Dolphins.
Okay. You're saying Tua beats the cold weather allegations finally?
Oh, fuck. Is it in Green Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, I wholeheartedly rescind. No. It's the Packers.
Yeah. I actually liked his mentality. Yeah. I think in the postgame presser on Sunday, he's just like, can't wait to like beat these out. Like, I think he actually like referenced it. Like, people say, I can't win in the cold. I'm ready to go prove them wrong kind of thing.
Did he say that while facing like away from the reporters? Because he's so messed up. or did he say that to like an empty room? I love Tua concussion jokes.
Oh yeah, okay.
Did he say can't wait to beat the Milwaukee Bucks? Because there is no other Green Bay team.
Yeah.
Milwaukee.
I got you.
Or the Wisconsin Herd G League.
You want to move on to the oh my god, the Canucks and Bruins are on. I completely forgot. It's tied 0-0 after the first. So yeah, let's hurry this up so I can watch the second.
Priorities.
Yeah. I forgot.
It's intermission. It's intermission right now.
Yes.
What a boring ass game. Three shots for the Canucks. That's Rick Tocchet hockey for you.
Love it. How many?
I'm turning on Tocchet, by the way.
How many do the Bruins have?
Nine.
Okay. What, you don't like Tocchet?
I don't believe the sun shines out his ass like a lot of people think.
Oh, it's just Canucks media. Like,
I mean, I've told you what I thought about Sprong and Baines.
Yeah.
And I mean, Sass in one game, who really cares? But I mean, it's just so boring. And Hoglander, I was looking at his game logs, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes, 11 minutes. Like, he hates him. And I don't understand because he isn't horrible
Hoglander takes,
defensively.
yeah, but Hoglander takes like a stupid penalty every game. If you watch, he takes like a penalty every game. And it's
I had to watch Zadorov take stupid penalties every game, and he didn't
different
care.
on the defense, though.
That makes it worse. Objectively, defense penalties are worse than third line winger penalties. Can we not agree on that?
I know, but you got to see where some of these Hoglander penalties take place.
Yes,
Like
I know
the
that.
one in
I
the
know.
Ottawa game was fine because it was Ottawa, maybe was going to score, but like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I kind of liked.
I'm
I kind of like.
frustrated with him.
I liked how he stood up for himself after Stutzla tried to injure
Yeah,
him.
kill him. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
That was kind of a joke how Stutzla got like no penalty and then Hoglander got the extra. Like what?
Yeah, NHL refs. But
Okay.
I do think there we could see a reckoning here with Tocchet. Not a firing, obviously, but I think fans are going to realize that he needs to be a little less stubborn with the offensive wingers. Because remember, he ruined Kuzmenko from day one.
Keep in mind, I believe he's got a club option at the end of the year.
Oh, Tocchet?
Yeah,
Yeah.
so
He'll be back.
no,
It would have to be a colossal. They have to go like 0-36 for them not to bring him back.
yeah, it'd have to be something
Remember,
crazy.
he's a Pittsburgh guy, just like Alvin
No,
Rutherford.
yeah, they love him. They love like working with his like structure and shit. That's what they preached. So.
Yeah, cool. I mean, please, please, please score more than 2 goals a game, but oh well.
Aren't we scoring more than 2 goals a game?
Barely.
Yeah,
Well, I
what
mean, more than
the
that. I mean, it's more of a like a overarching theme. Please score more. That's
I'm
what I
pretty
want.
sure I want to just fact check this quick. I'm pretty sure their leading goal scorer this year is like a 6-way tie with six
Oh,
at the moment.
you know who's would be the leading goal scorer on the Canucks? This is objectively hilarious.
Oh no. Is it so it's a player they've traded recently?
Well, I don't know if it's recent.
How what year? Give me a year.
I think 21 or 22.
Oh no, it's Adam Gaudette.
Yeah, he's got 9 goals.
I
Either
know.
all on the. Actually, he might even have 10. He has 9 or 10 goals, 2 assists, shooting 35%, and I think 5 of the goals are on the power play.
We
It's very
were
funny.
I was watching the game with my buddies on Saturday and we were saying Adam Gaudette scoring this game 100%. Like it's just happening. Yeah,
Very
so
funny.
there's a Miller has 6 goals, Pettersson has 6 goals, Sherwood has 6 goals, Besser has 6 goals, Pia Suter has 6 goals, and then Garland's got 5, DeBrusk has 5.
How about Sherwood?
Love him, dude. So sick.
He's great. Much better than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, well, I don't know. He's working great on their top line.
For now. His
Eventually, he'll.
shooting percentage will regress.
I think he's going to drop down eventually to like. I don't. Hopefully, he doesn't fall off as hard as Sam Lafferty did last year because Sam Lafferty was sick to start the year too. He's playing with Pettersson, but
Well, Sherwood's faster. He's got a better shot.
more physical.
Yeah, he's physical. He can pass. I am a little concerned Joshua hasn't done much yet. But we'll see.
Joshua's look kind of slow to me. Like
Which is
I
fine. He's
yeah.
you know, we're nobody's blaming him just yet.
I mean, yeah, their forward core is hot and cold though. Like it was last year too. They had these guys go on spurts and then these guys like not go on spurts, but they like rotated up and down the lineup, kind of how it went. Like it's never they all got cold at once. And I feel like that's still the case this year. Just not scoring in as many bunches as previous.
Well, the PDO monster has got them a little bit
Yeah,
this year.
100%. Everyone knew it was coming. Maybe not this much. They were thinking it was coming, but.
Yep.
But they're still getting good balance. Like that's the thing. Nobody's scoring a lot, but they're getting really good balance, which is good to have throughout your lineup. Okay. Where am I going with this next? Pelicans. They suck.
Yeah,
I'm
I
sorry, dude.
mean,
Like, I was high, and I was high on them. I believe I had them like third in the conference in my prediction. They suck, and I'm sorry. I know they have a shit ton of injuries. Like, I don't know if you saw like their injury report from one. I maybe still have a screenshot of it from like last week or the week before. I think it was last week. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here we go. Players out in the Pelicans-Cavs game last Wednesday. Zion, Brandon Ingram, DeJounte Murray, CJ McCollum, Herb Jones, Trey Murphy, Jordan Hawkins, Jose Alvarado. That's like their
That's
entire rotation.
All their good players.
That's like their entire rotation.
It's done. They, I mean, we seriously got to have the conversation if Zion qualifies as a bust. Relative to hype, he already is.
Yeah, it's...
Because remember, people forget with Wemby coming into the league, the Zion hype exceeded the Wemby hype. He was
no,
the next...
No,
yes,
it didn't.
Yes,
no,
it
it didn't.
did.
No,
yes,
it didn't.
It did. Yes, it did. There was the Zion cam during the NCAA tournament. Remember he broke his shoe and Nike lost $1 billion in stock? The Zion was more hyped than Wemby, and I'll die on that hill. Especially mainly because he played in America. He was more hyped than Wemby. That I remember that draft lottery, whoever was the New Orleans representative, they were giddy. Not Josh Giddy, but they were just happy. And I remember seeing their sick season ticket holder departments jumping for joy. He's been a colossal flop from the second he entered the league because he was hurt his very first preseason. He missed a couple months. He's hurt every year. He's fat. He's lazy. He's a bum. He's got so much talent. I saw that picture of him looking fat, and then I saw the side-by-side with 800-year-old LeBron James, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Like, it's really, frankly, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's if you gave me 4% of Zion's talent, I guarantee you I'd be at least in the G League. Because if you gave me, or if you gave Zion my talent, he'd be 800 pounds. That is not an exaggeration. If you gave him my talent, which is zero, put with his work ethic, which is negative 18, he'd be on my 600-pound life. He would.
He'd be the next Jabba the Hutt.
Well, Jabba the Gut, more like. I mean, it's just, I remember watching Shaq and Barkley. This was like 3 years ago. Being like, he has to get his weight under control or it's not going to work. Because his body type doesn't allow it for it to work. And here we are. It's almost 2025, almost 6 years post-draft, and we're still having the same conversation about his weight and that he can't stay healthy.
And what's the report that comes out every single offseason? Oh, Zion's lost weight. He's in shape.
And then...
Two weeks into the season, month into the season, injury, lower body,
well,
and he's fat again.
Well, it's best shape of my life, yada, yada, yada. And then someone from the Pelicans leaks that they have bonuses in his contract for weight goals, and he never gets them. Or if he does, it's back on in 2 weeks. It's a disgrace, frankly. Because I will fight you on this, Nathan. He was more hyped than Wemby. He was. Maybe you need to wind back the clock a little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe I do. Maybe I'm just stuck.
Clouded by love.
Yeah.
I mean, he was. He was. Objectively. I mean, remember, he was on Duke with RJ Barrett and one other
Cam
guy.
Reddish. Cam Reddish.
Yeah. Well, Cam Reddish, speaking of busts. But he was huge. He stopped. He was the forefront of getting NCAA to pay their athletes because he got injured and he didn't play again because his shoe exploded. And people were like, oh, I got to pay the athletes. Ooh.
Well, he did play.
No, that was his last game. He never
no,
played
wasn't.
Again.
He played in March Madness. That wasn't in March Madness.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. But he was hyped. And I think he's not like a Anthony Bennett bust, obviously. But, I mean, Jaw's objectively better in every way. RJ, for all of his faults, can stay healthy for the most part. And he's a productive player. What are we doing here? He's never going to be a superstar.
Do you?
He can't stay on the court.
I mean, it's completely related, unrelated from Zion shit. Where do you think Cooper Flagg ranks in terms of prospect?
Like, what do you mean? Like, in terms of first overall picks?
Yeah, because he's going first overall this year. I don't think there's any question about that.
Ahead of Richisher, sure.
Oh, 100%. I think
below
he's...
Wemby.
I think he's below Wemby, probably below Zion coming in.
I'm just trying to remember first overall picks.
I'm kinda,
think, I
I'd
think
probably
he's
say
on
like,
par with Edwards.
Okay.
Maybe
gonna,
a little higher.
I'm going to say Ben Simmons.
He better be better than Ben Simmons.
Well, no. Ben Simmons, like, coming
hype?
In. Yeah, Ben Simmons had hype.
No, I think he's ahead of Simmons. I don't remember the Simmons hype being that crazy.
Simmons had hype. Simmons was being like dubbed as like a mini LeBron, not like, but the
I know what
obviously,
you mean.
yeah,
I
like
put
there's
him
the
ahead of
they had similar
Simmons.
talents. He was like a big forward who could
Okay.
play make really well.
Ahead of Fultz. Poor Markelle Fultz. What a sad story. That's a different type of injury than Zion, where Zion's injured because he's, too heavy. Markelle Fultz's shoulder was destroyed. Who else went first overall? This we got to rack my brain cells here a little bit recently. Wemby, Risharger,
Cade Cunningham.
Edwards. I think he's about even with Cade. Because Cade's good, he's just on a shit team.
Yeah, I think he's pretty hyped. I think he's good, gonna be a really good player. And he's probably gonna change a franchise. I don't think.
Please, 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 Toronto. Please, please, please. Just
Did
kidding. Adam Silver will
you
never ha let that happen.
see, have you been in the group chat at all?
You'll have to be more specific.
Like the fantasy
I
one.
know, but recent, what's the time frame?
I think the past like 2 days. I think we were talking about the Wolves losing to the Raptors on the weekend.
I don't think I looked at that very closely.
And I was just chirping Jackson because he's a Wolves fan. I'm like, how do you lose to my poverty team? And then Adam comes in and he's like our poverty team. And I'm like, right, sorry. And then I think he's like, eh, it's fine. We'll win this and then like lose another like five in a row. Hashtag capture the flag.
Why is he a Wolves fan? Is he just an Edwards guy? Or is
I
this
think
like
he
deeper?
explained this to me one time and I forget exactly, but I think he just like had to choose a team eventually, like, and he kind of just didn't want to choose like a basic kind of answer.
Okay.
Wanted to do his own thing. I don't know, so
I'll
he
accept
chose.
that.
And then yeah, they got Ant maybe, and that's why. I don't know. Yeah, that wrap up kind of what we want to talk about this episode. Anything else we want to
I'm
touch
just
on?
thinking to those first overall picks. Like, I don't think about NBA first overall picks all that much anymore.
Okay, why don't we go year by year? I can probably go off the top of my head.
How
So,
far do you how back how back do you want to go? Want to go 10 years?
we'll see how.
2014?
Sure. So 20. We'll start last year. It was Risharger.
Risharger.
He's better.
Yes.
Then you go Wemby. Wemby's better.
Wemby's better.
That's
I don't remember
2023.
2022. Was it Cunningham?
No, I think Cunningham was the year before that.
Edwards was 2020.
I think Cunningham was 2021.
Oh.
2022.
This is pathetic. I could go
Wow.
back 30 years for NHL.
Yeah, I could go back.
2022. God, who was that?
Hold on, pulling that up.
I have no idea. I genuinely have no clue.
Oh,
Show us how.
Paolo. What am I saying?
Oh, Banchero. Right.
Yeah. He's probably on par with Paolo. I think
I
Paolo's really good.
probably the hype is higher.
Yeah, okay.
I like Banchero. Too bad the league doesn't care about him.
2021,
Cunningham.
Cunningham, about on par.
Edwards. Edwards wasn't
2020.
initially supposed to be the first
No,
overall pick
he wasn't even that hyped
because
necessarily.
it was LaMelo and Wiseman.
It was
That
like
was
a
the big thing.
toss up. Yeah.
Yeah, so I would put Flagg ahead of Edwards.
I agree with that.
2019, Zion was the hype was enormous. I convinced you that it was more than Wemby.
Don't know if you fully convinced me yet,
I
but I
fully
see where you're coming
convinced you.
from.
When I see you, it's after whenever you come here, I will fully convince you
Okay, sounds good.
with fisticuffs. 2018.
That would be DeAndre Ayton, I believe.
Below. Ayton is below Flag.
Or was that Ayton?
I think it was.
Maybe he was 2017. But I think
No,
it's Ayton.
17 was. This is quite sad. Here we are living for sports, but we don't know.
It was Ayton.
Okay, I thought it was Ayton. So Ayton's
Yeah.
below
So
Flag.
we were right. We were right. Don't worry. We know our
Yep,
shit.
we do. We do.
Aiden was below. Yeah, I agree.
Simmons, I think Simmons is below Flag, but
Well,
you think
Simmons
he's
was
ahead.
2016.
Yep.
Fultz was
Oh yeah, that's
2017.
right. Right. Fultz below, unquestionably.
Yeah. Simmons, I think he's about on par with. Simmons
Okay,
had the hype coming
I
in.
think he's below personally.
You really? You think? Okay.
I think Simmons is below Flag, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant Flag was below
No, no,
Simmons.
no, no. I think, okay, I should say, yeah, I should articulate myself properly.
2015 would have been Cat.
I think Flag's above Cat.
Okay. And then 2014, Wiggins.
Wiggins was really hyped. Maybe we just living in
I don't think
Canada.
women's was, Wiggins was, I think
I
Wiggins
just
was
I
hyped in
remember hearing
Canada
about Wiggins nonsense. I mean, maybe it's
because that's Canada.
effectively, yeah. Okay, so I'll recuse myself from this one because I can't think objectively about it.
I'm saying Flag's more hyped, 100%. I think
What about Anthony Bennett? Because he was 13.
well, he was supposed to go up like pick nine that year.
I know that was. I feel so bad for him. Like even in this shit draft, he wouldn't have gone first. That just happened. I don't think. I mean, he was supposed to go 8, 9. He was supposed to go like I saw mocks with him at 14. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. That wrap up.
I think so.
Okay.
Time to watch J Justin Brazzo score a hat trick.
Yep, maybe. Next week won't be Four Nations talk. We'll be on pods for that for 2 weeks. I don't know what we'll talk about. Don't know. We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
You see
Maybe
Biz
we'll have it
got
for. Oh, Christ. Yeah, Biz
Dub Biz
Nasty.
get dropped.
I want to hear the real story here.
Oh, I
Because
well I well,
I know
did
he says he was defending someone, but I could see Biz Nasty being like shit face and pissing someone off.
No, did you listen to the pod today?
No, I don't listen to Spin Chat with.
Okay, so I've listened to his to explain it today. So he goes to this restaurant like 3 to 4 times a week, and apparently like other people in Arizona do too, like a lot.
Okay.
He normally goes in. He's really friendly, apparently, with all the managers and stuff, and the staff really likes him. They like him. He goes normally sits at like the bar area when he goes in, but the bar area was full this time, so they put him in like the dining room. He's like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. And he's sitting like waiting for his food or something, and he's noticing these six dudes getting rowdy at the bar, and apparently they got told no, like they're not getting served anymore. They got pissed. A manager like had to come over and stuff, and they were getting pissed. The guy was getting pissed at the manager, all up in his face, threatening him and shit. So Biz, it's like, all right, I like these people too much. I'm
Yeah.
stepping in and saying
Okay.
something because I'm standing up for them. They don't deserve this. So he goes over, and he grabs a guy on the arm, and he says, "Listen, dude,
Oh,
if
that's a
you,
mistake. Can't grab people. People don't like that.
yeah, I know." He's like, "Listen, dude, if you don't stop harassing the staff and the management, and like don't leave, we're gonna have to step outside, and we're gonna have a problem." And as he said, apparently he said, as he said that, one of the other guys, one of his buddies, jumped in and started swinging on him, and then they all started swinging on him.
Shit, that's too bad.
Yeah, and then
Well, he's got
it
insurance.
continued outside too a little bit, but yeah, Biz got in like no trouble because he was just defending
Of
himself.
course.
He was swinging, but
Yeah, so obviously he's not at fault here.
and all the
But
managers, I'm sure, vouch for him too.
yep.
So.
Although, here's some advice for you children out there. You see someone being drunk and rowdy, don't grab them. Like when I heard you say that, I was like, oh God, he's gonna. Now, I'm not saying it's ever okay to start swinging on people as they did to him, but. Yeah, that just makes aggressive people more aggressive.
Yep,
You do a
100%.
little tap or a friendly hand. You don't, I don't know.
I don't know how like
Use your
vicious the
words.
I don't know how vicious the grab was necessarily. I
Yeah,
can
okay.
picture it where he kind of just like kind of did it to like come up, let him like maybe he would come up from
Maybe.
behind him and like he just like kind of let him know kind of thing that he's there, but I definitely see what you mean on that. Anyways, well, what do you want to say next week for NHL? What do you want to talk about? You're saying something,
I
and
don't even know. Like, there's not much going on in NHL Rise right now. Maybe the Juracek trade will have happened.
yeah,
Almost certainly it will have. Maybe some more stuff.
we
Maybe we
will.
do like a quarter mark review.
Okay, I'm almost curious to have like a. I've seen Bedard and Celebrini comparison get thrown out. Really, I don't know how I feel about that. Maybe we can talk about that.
Might even be almost time for World Junior talk.
Ooh, good point. Getting close. Month away.
You know,
Literally,
last year's
literally
World
month away.
Junior. I didn't watch a. I watched two games. They lost the first one, and then I lost the game, or I watched the game. They got eliminated. I saw them score one goal in the World Juniors last year. Worst World Juniors I've ever seen.
I forget last year's World Juniors.
They
What the
were
fuck?
terrible. Macklin Celebrini was the only good player. It was like Fraser Minton who sucked. Easton Cowan was
Did they lose in
horrible.
the quarters? Right, they did. Huh.
To Czechia.
Yeah, huh.
They were terrible. It was rough.
So we had that free agent relievers in the MLB next week. I will probably watch more NFL this week, so I can probably do a proper week review.
Sure.
I hope I will. Oh, actually, maybe I won't, because I'm going to be coming back from Vancouver, so I'll try and keep up, though. We'll figure something out. And then NBA... Got to be NBA Cup playoffs start soon. Can predict that, even though I know you hate it.
God, I predict the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, good pick. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Definitely going to happen.
Over the Raptors. I think they're eliminated, so it doesn't even matter.
I don't think they're eliminated yet, but if they lose another one, they are.
Oh, the LeBron gif.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to lose, though. Got this far. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. We will catch you in the next episode. Peace out.
See ya.